go to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24 through verse 28. Dr. Oren Perry, would you give him a wave in the house tonight? Visiting pastor, give God a praise for him. My therapist is in the house tonight. Would you wave your hand at him? Let him see who you are. Amen. Pray for him because he was mean to me. He had me doing stuff that an old body shouldn't have to do anymore. I told him, the best part of our session is when you leave. Thank you for being who you are. Come on, give God a praise for him. It will please you to know I was running today and lifting weights today and running around my property today. Yeah, man. I still might eat some cheesecake before it's over, but nah, I'm just teasing you. Thank you. I'm trying to feel good, and I am feeling good. This is quite the text, and the Lord has been speaking to me about it off and on for some time. I want you to pray with me that I might be able to communicate with you what he has communicated with me. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. What did he do? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell not. And it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. He talked like he knew what he was talking about. His attitude was different from the attitude of other people who spoke because he had a different perspective. He had a longer view. He had a vision in mind. He knew. They were used to reading the words and hearing the words and teaching the words. The scribes wrote the words, but he was the word. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So tonight I got a title and a subtitle, so that means you're gonna be in trouble. Okay. The title is Sustainable Outcomes. Sustainable Outcomes. Sustainable Outcomes. It's no good how things come if they don't stay. It doesn't do any good to fix it if you're going to break it again. You want to have sustainable outcomes. And my subtitle is real simple. Look at somebody, say, still here. Father, bless the word while it's being taught tonight. Let it bring forth life. Let it change things, fix things, heal things, mend things. Give us the kinds of outcomes that are sustainable, that we can maintain, that we can count on, that no matter what we come up against in our lives, we will have the ability and the endurance to, having done all to stand therefore with our loins girt about with truth. I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There you go. So I was talking several years ago to a facilitator, an executive, a CEO who runs hospitals, and I was talking to him at a time when we were having MegaFest. And I wanted to do a health fair out in the front of MegaFest. And I told him about the demographics of the type of people that were going to be coming and the health maladies that existed in that population. And I said, why don't you come and set up a health fair, and it'll give you an opportunity to help solve some of these problems that are so pervasive in our community and incidentally have gotten worse. And he gave me the strangest answer. He said, your population by and large is not from our city. And he said, when we do a health fair, we do a health fair to the intent that we might receive long-term clients and patients. It kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, because I was thinking you did a health fair because you wanted to eradicate disease. And there are certainly doctors who do that. But I wasn't talking to a doctor, I was talking to an administrator. And suddenly I realized what I saw as a mission, he saw as a business. And I didn't realize, because I'm so mission-oriented, that what I saw as a mission was his livelihood, his payroll, his mortgages to pay, his insurances to provide, and he was thinking about longevity, sustainability, and he knew those people were gonna fly back out of town and go somewhere else, and he didn't wanna make the expenditures and the expense and pay all those people all those hours for somebody who was gonna be there for a weekend. He was looking for sustainability, and I was looking for people who just wanted to get better. Neither one of us were wrong, but we had a different perspective. Sometimes when you have a certain perspective, it depends on the position you're in. And that's why you can't let people worry you who are talking about you or commenting on your posts or saying little funny things online about you, or you make a comment and they come back arguing. They're talking from their perspective. It's the way they think about a thing that determines how things come. And what I love about the radical Jesus that we serve is that he was always challenging the way people think. And most of the time, he was challenging the way religious people think. Because the hardest people to transform in their thinking are people who are already indoctrinated with such an idea that it is inbred often generationally in them to the degree that they can't get out of the prison. They got out of the prison of sin, but they can't get out, some of them, but they can't get out, yeah, you caught that, but they can't get out the prison of religious ideologies. And Jesus had a way of challenging the way you think spiritually, trying to transform the way that you think so that you can evolve into the realm that he thinks in. We have a God who has planned the end from the beginning, but we have a people who are spontaneous. Now I'm gonna say that again. We have a God who has planned the end from the beginning, but we have a people who are spontaneous, who are last minute, who decide at the last moment what they're gonna do, where they're gonna wear, where they're gonna go. They are spontaneous. We have a God who is steadfast and stable, and we have a people who make emotional decisions on the spur of the moment. And the Bible says, how can two walk together save they agree? So often when you see Jesus in the Gospels talking to people, he's talking to religious people, trying to change the way they think. And it's like trying to crack concrete with a fork. Because once you become convinced of something, the Bible says at one point they became so convinced in their religious conviction that they killed the prophets. And then he sent his son and they crucified his son. Now, these are the religious people. I'm not even dealing with the sinners yet. I'm just talking about religious people. They kill the very God they said they serve. When that God sent a prophet, they killed the prophet and thought they did God service. We need a revival, but not a 5-day, 10-day, 12-day revival. We need a revival in the way we think. We need a transformation in between our two ears. We need a transformation so that we can begin to understand how we need to process things and how far down the road we need to be thinking. In business, they call it outcomes. It's outcome-based management. They're focused on the outcome, not the day, the outcome. Not the moment, not the minute, but the outcome. They want to see the outcome change. This approach focuses on setting clear goals and evaluating performance based on measurable results rather than micromanaging processes or daily tasks. Employees are concerned about, is it 5 o'clock yet? Is it Friday? Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. But employers know Monday's coming. And then another Monday. And then another Monday coming. And they gotta be thinking down the road and not in the moment. How close is it to time to go to lunch? We're going to lunch, where are we going to eat at? People who think in short cycles have short experiences. People who think in long cycles make better decisions because they're thinking about the outcome of a thing rather than the moment that they're in. I hope this steps right on your toe. So take your shoe off so you can feel it, because if I can get that toe just right, I can change your life in such a way that you'll never be the same again. That you won't be stuck in the moment. We tell people to live in the moment, but if you only live in the moment, you will be as foolish as you can be in the world. The Bible said, look at the ant, O ye sluggard, and while it is yet summer, he is thinking about winter. Yet, so you're talking to God about the summer, and I don't like the rain today, and you ought to be thinking about, thank God for the rain so it can water the soil so that I can have food in the winter. But because you're thinking about it from your perspective, you are trapped in a cycle of your own emotions. And when you get trapped in a cycle of your own emotions, you can't even pray right, because you're talking to an eternal God and you're praying from a specific place and you're speaking two different languages. It's like one of you is speaking French and the other one speaking Spanish, because you're so busy worried about today that you don't see that God is using today to take you into tomorrow. And if you don't understand that, you will despise the day and miss the tomorrow, because today is the tool that God uses to get you to tomorrow. God is concerned about the outcome, not the inconvenience. He's concerned about the outcome. He's concerned about the end of a thing. The Bible says that Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. God had a plan of redemption set in place before Adam had ever committed a sin, because God is a God of outcomes. And when you're a God of outcomes, you think about things differently. So you've got to, if you can become an outcome-based manager of your life, you'll stop being worried about who didn't speak to you, who didn't like you, who didn't come by to see you, who's a hater. We won't have to talk about haters to get you on your feet, because you know the hater is neither here nor there. If it doesn't affect the outcome, it doesn't matter what the hater says one way or the other, because your mind needs to be on clear goal settings. Your mind needs to be on leadership type decision, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound objectives. That's what your mind needs to be on. Smart, focusing on smart stuff, not things that don't matter here or there. I don't care whether you like my jacket or not. I don't care whether you like my glasses or not, because it doesn't have anything to do with my long-term objectives. I'm focusing on my objectives and not on your opinion. Your opinion doesn't outweigh my objective. And people, come on, all the successful people are waving at me because they've already learned that your objectives are not controlled by other people's opinion. So there you are trying to change somebody's opinion when their opinion isn't gonna make you or break you, whether they like you or don't like you, whether they believe in you or don't believe in you. Nobody got a raise just because somebody liked you. Nobody got a spiritual gift just because somebody likes you. You gotta have your focus on your objectives and work toward your objectives in order to get the outcome that you wanna get in your life. You need to be thinking way down the road so that you can move today in such a way that it is connected to tomorrow, so that tomorrow is connected to next week, so that next week is connected to next month, so that when everything is said and done, you will be in the place that God wants you to be. The problem, though, is that Jesus was talking to people who were only concerned about the moment. And they worked in the moment. And they said, we did great works in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We raised the dead. And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And he gives them two reasons before he tells his story. The first one he said, your relationship with me should be the foundation from which you're working from. Not your brokenness. Not your need to prove something to somebody that's not there anymore. Your foundation has to be that you have a relationship with me. And then number two, he says the second thing is your obedience. So if you're taking notes, relationships and obedience. He said, if you hear my word and obey my word, you will build on a sure foundation. You will build. Touch three people and say, you will build. You will build. You will build. There's nobody in this text that didn't build. Everybody built something. Everybody built something. There's nobody in this text that was not a builder. And everybody in this room is a builder. Whether you build fear, whether you build doubt, whether you build anger, whether you build insecurity, whether you build crisis, whether you build trauma, whether you build trouble, everybody in this room is going to build something. Whether you know it or not, you're building something right now. If you're watching me online, you are a builder. You are a builder. You're building something. You just got to decide what it is that you build. There's nobody in the story that wasn't building. So Jesus uses this metaphor to teach them about accountability. He uses this metaphor to teach them about achieving outcomes. He uses this metaphor to teach them about following rigid processes are not as important as getting to definite outcomes. In other words, anytime you love the process more than you love the outcome, you get stuck in the process. And no, I got to do it this way because I love the process rather than the outcome, when in reality, the way we go about getting it done might vary from person to person, but as long as we get it done, that's going to be all that matters. And people are fussing at you about your process when you ought to be focused on your outcome. Core, when I was a little boy, I grew up in a neighborhood where the ice cream truck came along. And when the ice cream truck came along, it would ring a bell. And when it rang a bell, all the kids would run out of the house trying to chase the ice cream truck. Once he had run out of kids, I noticed something. He would pick up speed because all his customers were gone. Our fun was his business. So I like ice cream. He liked to sell ice cream. He wanted the money. I wanted the ice cream. Fair exchange, no robbery. What I couldn't understand is the dog that ran up chasing the ice cream truck. And this is my problem with it. The dog is running as fast as he can. And as fast as he can run, the truck is going faster. And I wondered in my mind, did the dog ever think for one moment, what are you gonna do if you catch it? You can't drive. How many times are we chasing something? How many times are we chasing something that we haven't thought about? If I catch it, what am I gonna do with it? Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. How many times are we chasing positions, chasing people, chasing opportunities, but if we catch it, we have no plan of what to do next? And if you don't have a plan for what you're going to do next, you're never gonna walk into the purpose of God. People who are successful in the kingdom, people who are successful in life, have already thought, when I get there, I'm gonna do this. When I get there, I'm gonna do that. When I get there, I'm gonna do the other. They have a strong sense of focusing on autonomy and flexibility. I gotta run if you don't run. I gotta move if you don't move. I gotta be flexible to turn when you're turning, because I am concerned about outcomes. And if I have to turn, and if I have to move, and if I have to flex, whatever it takes for me to get there, I'm willing to do it. But people who love the process says, I'm not gonna turn because I didn't plan to turn, and I can't make a change because I don't like changes, and I'm in love with the process and not the outcome. But people who like the outcome will drive down the alley, they'll drive through somebody's backyard, they'll climb over a fence, they'll leap over the wall, because they're not worried about how they look, they're worried about the outcome. Outcome-based management. This is basically what Jesus is teaching in this text. He says, if you don't build right on the right stuff, it's not gonna stand. If you're building the house thinking it's never gonna rain, how are you gonna be able to make it? In other words, plan on trouble. Include trouble in your plan. Jesus is saying to them, it is not gonna be easy. Nobody in this story was not a builder, and nobody in this story had no trouble. So for all of you that are sulking because you have trouble and you're feeling sorry for yourself, the enemy is stealing years out of your life, because there is not one person in this text that didn't have trouble. So you're sitting there thinking you're in a class all by yourself. I had a hard time. I had a hard life. I had a hard childhood. I had a bad marriage. I had a broken home. And so what? And so did everybody else. And if they made it, you can make it too. So this story is a self-defeating idea that is slowing down your performance, and you're not able to move because you are giving yourself permission to be ill. All excuses are is permission not to get better. It is the narcotic that you give yourself to deflect any spiritual moment that happens in the service that could reach you and change you. It never occurs to you that it really applies to you, because you already got a force field up, a story you told yourself, a narrative that makes you always running and never catching up, because you are running after things you can't drive. Can I go a little bit deeper? Now, when you look at this text, there's something that I want you to realize about this text. This text is terribly redundant. The rain comes, the wind comes, it beats against the house without discrimination. Whether the man is built the house on the rock or built it on the sand, they still face the same storm. There's not a person in this room that's not in some kind of storm now. a financial storm, an emotional storm, a lonely storm, a mental storm, a family storm, a grieving storm. I said there's not a person in this room that's not in some kind of storm. I don't care how they dress. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care what the draperies look like. I don't care what the rug is on the floor. There is not a house that is built that didn't go through the same kind of storm. It's not even a different storm. It has the same progression. It goes from rain to a storm to beating against the house. It is the same whether you built on the rock or you built on the sand. You're still going to have the same kind of storm. You are not special. You are not special. You are not special. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you are not special. I don't care what you build on. You are not special. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's what the Word of God said. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. But the way you process in your head, it gives you the privilege of having a justifiable reason not to get better. I don't know what kind of devil is coming against me. I don't know what kind of spiritual warfare. I must work with a witch somewhere. All hell is breaking loose in my life. All hell is breaking loose in everybody's life. That shouldn't stop you from being a builder. Slap somebody and tell them I'm a builder. I'm a builder. I'm a builder. That means I'm going to build something that's not there. I'm not going to just take over something that is there. I'm going to build something that's not there. I'm not going to sit here and wait on somebody to give me a finished product because I'm a builder. And why would God call a builder and not give them something to build? Look at somebody and say, I'm going to build this thing. I'm going to build this thing. I'm going to build this house. I'm going to build this marriage. I'm going to build this family. I'm going to build my own peace. I'm going to build my own joy. I'm going to build my own tomorrow. I'm going to build my future. I'm going to build my retirement. I'm going to build my peace. I'm going to build my ministry. I'm going to build my gift. I'm going to build my preaching. I'm going to build my teaching. I'm going to build my technology. Whatever it is, I am going to build it. I am not going to sit here and wait on you to hand me something because you ain't coming. You are building for you. I am going to build for me. I am a builder. Everybody in the story is a builder. Why do you think the rain came? Why do you think the wind blew? Why do you think the hell assailed against it? Because the enemy hates builders. I don't care what you build on, he hates builders, and you're up under attack because you're a builder. Did you really think that the devil was going to go to sleep and let you build something for God and not fight you? Did you really think that God was going to let you preach like that and not fight you? Did you really think that God was going to anoint you like he anointed you, and the enemy is not going to send a storm? Great is the storm that falls upon people that are gifted, that are builders, that are anointed. That's part of the process. That's how you know you're a builder. When you see the rain coming, you know you're a builder. When you see the rain coming, you know you don't have time to play. Slack not thy bidding and go tell Ahab, the rain is coming. The rain is a sign that God's about to turn things around. So when all hell breaks loose, that's when you need to be praising God the most, because the rain is a sign. So God said, I want you to get in a hurry and run. Push somebody and say, run. You've been walking, you've been crawling, you've been sleeping, you've had no measurements, you have no metrics, you have no KPIs, you have no focus, you're not running because you don't have a sense of urgency. That's why you've been stuck as long as you've been stuck. You don't have a sense of urgency to run. The faster the truck moved, the more the dog chased him, because he understood this is about rhythm. This is about pace. This is about speed. This is about haste. And suddenly God healed them. And suddenly God moved. And immediately God set them free. And immediately God destroyed them. You don't have time to pontificate and sit around and worry about this, that, and the other. You got to get there quickly because the storm is coming. You got to get this right because the storm is coming. You got to get this solid because the storm is coming. Performance does not guarantee success. Thank you for saying amen with me, brother. Performance does not guarantee success. Both of them performed well, but both of them didn't prepare well. Anytime you perform better than you prepare, you're going to be in trouble, because it is the one who prepares the best, not the one who performs the best, that causes him to have the greatest victory. There is no difference in the wind. There is no difference in the rain. There is no difference in the storm. It's just that one of them prepared and the other one just performed. There is no difference in their performance. It doesn't say that one built a better house than the other house. It doesn't say that the house was stronger than the other house. It doesn't say that the house was bigger than the other house. It doesn't say that the house was better than the other house, because God's metrics are not based on your measurements. God's metrics are based on your foundation. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. As long as God knows me, you can hate me all you want to. As long as God knows me, you can talk about me all you please. As long as God is for me, who can be against me? I feel something about to break loose in this place. I feel something about to bring about a change in this place. Somebody take 30 seconds and give God a praise. I gotta pick up my pace. I gotta pick up my pace. I gotta pick up my pace. I can't be mad this long. I can't be broken this long. I can't feel sorry this long. Some of y'all are still angry at people that are dead. The person is dead and you're still mad at them. They're old in a nursing home and you're still mad at them. You let them take your life away with your rage because you are stuck in one place and you're not worried about outcomes. You're worried about opinions, and you keep it alive. You keep it alive. You breathe in it. You resuscitate it. You regurgitate it. You go back and think about it. You remind yourself of it. Every time God wants to deliver you, you relapse because you won't let go of it, because it is your excuse not to do better in your life, and you are just chasing the truck. Just chasing the truck. Just chasing the truck. Just chasing the truck and getting nowhere because you are not concerned about outcomes. Can I go deeper? Yeah. Touch your neighbor and say, if he goes any deeper, you might have to change. If he goes any deeper, you might have to drop your crutches. If he goes any deeper, you might have to give up your cane. If he goes any deeper, you might have to apologize. If he goes any deeper, yokes may have to be destroyed in your life. If he goes any deeper, you might have to give up your excuse for failure, because you have given yourself a free visa not to go forward with your life. If our ancestors made it through slavery, backs beaten like a dog, left laying in the street, women raped, men castrated, hung from trees. If they made buttermilk and didn't have a grocery store, if they made their own butter, if they churned their butter, if they got together and beat their wheat, and still they made it, and still they sang, and still they laughed. How have you lost your song with your car driving self, with your air conditioned self, with your dishwashing self? Your grandmama never saw a dishwasher, and still she had a song. Shame on you for losing your song in this storm. Shame on you for hanging your head in this storm. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Your ancestors would be embarrassed that you didn't fight any harder than this. They fought with nothing in their hands. They fought without friends by their side. They fought in crisis and in storm. You park in garages. You live in fine houses. You go out to the movies. You got everything to work with, and still you're stuck. Shame on you if you don't stand up and pull yourself together and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I feel the greater one standing up. Oh, standing up in my soul. Slap somebody and say, I got a greater one. I got a greater one. My power is not in my roof. My power is not in my windows. My power is not in my siding. My power is in my foundation. I built this thing on a rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I wish I had 10 people that could admit that I'm talking to you tonight. This word is for you. This word is for you. This word is for you. Whether you receive it or not, this word is for you. So you gotta be prepared to make some adjustments. Tell your neighbor, I'm gonna make some adjustments. I'm not gonna be the same man. I'm not gonna be the same woman. I'm gonna make some adjustments. If I have to dig me a new foundation, I'm gonna make me some adjustments. If I have to change my attitude, I'm gonna make me some adjustments. I feel a praise about to hit this house. I feel a praise about to hit this house. I feel a praise about to hit this house. I'm about to make some adjustments. I'm not gonna be the same person that you sat by Sunday after Sunday, because I'm running out of time and I gotta make some adjustments. Somebody give him praise for adjustments. It doesn't matter how I got there. As long as I get to the outcome, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many nights I cry. As long as I get to the outcome, that's all that matters. I got a story, you got a story, she got a story, she got a story, she got a story, he got a story. But still I got to the outcome. And the devil don't like it, but I'm here. Having done all to stand, I'm standing here with my loins girt about with truth. And I came to tell hell, I came to tell demons, I came to tell witches, I came to tell hexes, since I didn't die, I might as well live. I might as well keep preaching. I might as well keep moving under the power of the Holy Ghost. Since the blood is running warm in my veins, I might as well keep on doing what God called me to do. I feel a praise down in my belly. I feel a praise down in my spirit, something is gonna happen in this place. Whatever I got to adjust to, I've been working out all day. I've been lifting weights all evening because I want the devil to know the fight is on, baby. The fight is on. The fight is on. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somebody help me praise him. Somebody help me praise him. Somebody help me praise him. So you go ahead and brag about your car. You go ahead and brag about your shoes. You go ahead and brag about your suit. All of that's nice. All of that's wonderful. Beautiful drapes, wonderful carpet. All of that's good, but none of that stopped the storm. I'm praising God, not for the bricks, not for the stone, not for the doorway. I'm praising God because I'm still here. I've been to hell and back, and I'm still here. I had to crawl on my belly, but I'm still here. And I refuse to be here and let go of my praise. Slap your neighbor and tell him I'm still here. You can't ignore me. You can't overlook me. You can't run me away. I'm still here. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I'm still here. With every breath I got, I'm gonna give him the praise. I'm gonna praise him till the storm gets tired. I'm gonna praise him till the wind stops blowing. I'm gonna praise him until the hell ceases. I'm still here, and I got the kind of praise that's stronger than your praise, because I got a flood praise. I got a wind praise. I got a fire praise. I've been through the fire. I've been through the furnace. I've been through the flood. And I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I don't need no other reason to praise God except I'm still here. Tell my storm I'm still here. Tell the devil I'm still here. Peter should have rebuked the wind and said, I'm still here. It might be rocky, but I'm still here. It might be waves, but I'm still here. If I'm on the boat and Jesus is on the boat, we might as well have church on the storm, because ain't no way this boat's going down. As long as Jesus is on the boat, I'm still here. It gets rocky, but I'm still here. I cried myself to sleep, but I'm still here. I crawled on my knees, but I'm still here. I went through chemo, but I'm still here. Let everything that have breath. I'm still here, and if you're gonna be my friend, you gotta rejoice with me. And the only reason you don't rejoice is because you're jealous. But everybody who's for you, the Bible said, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Stop trying to find somebody to be happy for you before you're happy for yourself. If you're happy for yourself, you'll draw somebody that's happy for you. But you too busy talking about the wind. You too busy talking about the rain. You too busy talking about the storm. That's your idol. That's your God. But the Lord sent me here tonight to tear down every idol. It's gotta come down. Pull it down. Pull it down. Pull it down. Pull it down. it down. Pull it down. Pull it down. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor powers, nor principalities. I'm pulling it down. I'm pulling it down. I'm pulling it down. I'm pulling it down. Why you gonna pull it down? Because I'm still here. I'm still here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're redeemed, come out your closet and give God some praise. I know you're cute, but give God some praise. I know you're educated, but give God some praise. I know you just got your hair done, but give God the praise. Nothing the devil sent has stopped you from surviving. You ought to give God a crazy praise. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. Don't make him take it. Give our God some praise. So the Bible said he spoke as someone having authority. You've lost your authority. You let everything run over top of you. The devil is a lie. You got to get your authority back. I take authority over everything that's been after you. I take authority that's after your peace, that's after your mind. I take authority in the name of Jesus. I refuse to pay rent and can't sleep in my house. The devil is a lie. Give me my bed back. Give me my house back. Give me my children back. Give me my joy back. I take authority. I will survive. If I lose a job, I'll make a job. If you won't hire me, I'll hire myself. Whatever it takes, I will. April, I was reading a story, and it kept blowing my mind. Because I couldn't find nothing different between the two stories. They were both builders. They built the same. There's no criticism of how they built. It was the same. The house stood until the storm came. The storm revealed who built on a rock and who built on the sand. How you handle your storm shows your devil what you made of. Y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. 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 Oh my God. Oh, sis, help me tell them. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. See, y'all don't understand, I'm from West Virginia. And when we get ready to build a house, we pour footers. We pour footers. We dig it out. We fill it with concrete. We lay cinder block. And we pour footers. And might build a basement. When I came to Dallas, nobody built footers. They built pier and beam. Because the ground is so shaky that if you don't pour a pier and beam, the house will fall down. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm not building on no shaky ground. I don't need pier and beam in my soul. I don't need anything to stabilize me. I want to build on a rock. The footer was a rock. That's why it was made out of concrete. And my mama taught me, whenever you get ready to buy a house, don't be persuaded by the roof. Check the foundation. If the foundation standeth sure, then no weapon formed against you shall be able. It will work, devil. See, you've been hanging out with people who are built on pier and beam, and every so often you got to fix cracks, because even though it's built on pier and beam, it's still shifting, and every so often the door don't close. I don't care how much you paid for the house, the door don't close, because pier and beam is how we compensate for not having a rock. So you be my peer and you be my beam. And the only thing, come on, peer and beam. The only thing wrong with having you as peer and beam is that both of y'all are moving. And I can't build on something that keeps moving. I got to stand on a rock. Every ounce up under me is solid concrete. I don't care what you hit this pulpit with, you just gonna run into more rock. The whole thing is rock. There's no studs, there's no wood. When we poured it absolutely solid. It's solid as a rock. Hallelujah, you gotta be solid as a rock. You can't be built on something that's moving. It'll look good for a little while. After a while, the door won't close. It'll look good for a little while. After a while, the window won't shut. And it's nice and it's cute. And I ain't talking about your house, but I came from West Virginia where we had houses so strong, you could live in the basement. So even if a hurricane came, you could run down in the basement and still be safe. There's some people out there, you've been a basement in your family, and that's why they run to you every time a storm comes, because they know you're going to stand in the storm. And I know you're tired of them, but it ain't no need in complaining. You got a house on a rock. And they got a house on sand. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes again. Somebody who's feeling kind of solid, give God a praise right now. Jesus is my rock. He's my rock. In the wilderness, he's my rock. In the time of trouble, he's my rock. In the middle of a crisis, he's my rock that's gonna get back everything I lost. The Bible said that Christ was the rock that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And the same rock that followed them was the same rock that they drank from. If you gonna ever get a drink, you gotta go back to being built on the rock, not on the wind, not on the balance sheet, not on the budget, not on what you see with your eye. You gotta be built on a rock. Shout yes! Shout yes! Shout yes! Shout yes! Shout yes again. So tonight you need to make a declaration, a celebration, and a declaration. Not a glorification of the storm you went through, but the fact that you're still standing. I am still here. Not who didn't make it, not who couldn't take it, not who forsook you. I don't know about you, but I took stuff I didn't think I could stand. I took stuff that blew my own mind. I took stuff that knocked me down to my knees. I took stuff that made me cry all night long. I took stuff that I thought I could not stand any longer. But when I wanted to give way, the rock wouldn't let me. And I praise him for being my rock. And I praise him for being my strength. And I praise him for being my help. Now I know it's been hard. I know it's been so hard, there's some stuff you can't even talk about. I know it's been so hard that you incurred some damage. Your roof is all leaking. The glass out your windows are broke. Great was the storm that came against the house. But the house stood, and the other man's house fell to rubble. I'm not saying rejoice in it, but watch your enemies crumble before you.
Amen. That's up. Say that.
Watch them plan for you not to survive. And just at the last minute, while they planning the funeral, at the last minute, while they're counting on you just crawling up and dying, at the last minute, even when you thought you was gonna die, that you hit the rock. And some kind of way you stood what you thought you couldn't stand, because you're tougher than you think you are, and you're stronger than you think you are, and you got more grace than you think you got. And you know what? You're gonna be all right. You're gonna be all right. I speak with authority. Having known him for myself, I speak with authority. What God has for you is for you. I've been as close to heaven as anybody got without staying. I fell all the way down and hit the rock. How dare you witness a miracle and not get nothing out of it? Look at you. All you've been through. Look at all the people you lost. Some through death, some through disease, some through outright betrayal. Look at all the storms that came against you. You're watching online tonight, I'm talking right to you. There's a reason you're online right now. And you can talk about churches all you want to. I don't believe in them churches. I don't believe in them. Why are you on the line?
Tell it.
You won't see soon. We're getting stripped down to all we got left is the rock. You gonna walk in that strip club and ask for your money back. Because it is not going to sustain you. People are not going to sustain you. But God will. I don't care if we got to go back to growing chickens. I don't care if we got to go to canning jelly. Was God any less God for your grandmama than he was for you? Was God any less able for your great-grandfather than he was for you? If they lived their lives out and they made it, how can you let the devil convince you that you can't make it? You are living in the dreams of your ancestors. You are living in the dreams of your forefathers. They would be so embarrassed for you to get in your nice little car and drive home crying, talking about you can't make it. When they walk miles to go to church with no air and shouted and couldn't vote. And you sitting there with your cute self. When you're, I don't care what ethnicity you are, if you go back far enough, you're going to see storms and troubles that you can't imagine. If they made it, if they raised 13 kids and 10 kids and 5 kids and fed everybody, if they had sweet potatoes under the front porch, come on somebody, y'all don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. Y'all don't understand nothing about no lard. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what I'm saying. If they made it and they had good food, they cooked so good with so much less that folk hired them to cook for them. So why are we so troubled? Because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So since he can't stop you from being blessed, he stops you from feeling blessed. And we have raised the age of people who worship their feelings. They've been taught to worship their feelings more than to live in their faith. Because the enemy had to work on this for decades so that you wouldn't feel blessed. He couldn't stop you from being blessed. He wanted to stop you from feeling blessed. But today we... Today we pull it down. Everybody who had an awakening through this word in any area of your life, rush to this altar right now. Ain't no difference in our house and your house and her house and their house. They all get storms. They all get rain. They all get wind. It's just some of them are built on a rock. 1,000 square feet, 10,000 square feet. It don't make no difference if it's gonna crumble. It's gonna crumble. But somebody in this room, you have not appreciated the rock Your father's worked twice as hard for half as much. We have bought into a lie. That if you don't have this and that and the other, you spend more on your hair than your mama spent on her house. Oh, y'all looking all funny. I'm going to tell you because I know. I know what time it is. You ask your grandmama if she would have thought about spending that much money on somebody else's hair. Do you? No, y'all too young. Y'all don't know nothing about hot combs and bergamot grease. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about bergamot grease. Y'all don't know nothing about bergamot. I can smell it right now. Y'all don't know nothing about Murray's grease that held your hair down with a stocking cap that your grandmama tied a knot around. You done forgot where we came from. And we still here. You worried about what these people are doing. When you ought to be thinking about what your God is doing. Somebody would love to have your trouble. Go up in the AIDS ward. See, you stay around all these people. Go up in the AIDS ward. Go up in the cancer unit. Go on up there to the children's hospital and ask them, would they rather be here than there? And you got the nerve to be here and still not be happy? You walked up here. No nubs. You walked up here. Not a paraplegic. You walk. Don't you wait till God give you something to cry about. See, that's old school stuff. Y'all don't do that now. Y'all do that gentle parenting. But my mama used to tell me, oh, you gonna cry? You gonna cry? I'm gonna give you something to cry about. If you don't learn to be thankful, you're gonna get something to cry about. Lift your hands up. And let your spirit recognize how blessed you are that you are still here. I know you've had problems. I know it's been tough. I know it's been hard. I know it's been hard. I know it's been difficult because the enemy wants you to be soft enough to melt in this heat. And if you wax, you're going to melt. But if you clay, you're going to get harder. Because the same heat that melts the wax hardens the clay. It's the same heat. It's the same wind. It's the same rain. It's the same storm. The only thing different in the whole story is the house. One house was built on a rock and one was built on sand. If you're not built on a rock tonight, you can be. You can invite Christ into your life. I don't care what you did or who you did it with. I don't care how long it's been or how tough it's been or how confused you might be. If you invite Jesus Christ into your heart right now, he will put you on a solid foundation. And right where you are, if you have not given your life completely over to Christ, if I'm not asking you, are you a member of the Potter's house? Do you go to the church? No. That ain't hard enough. Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, then why are you so troubled? Lift your hands. Lift your head. Lift your heart. Lift your mind up. Lift your spirit up. Lift your heart up and cry out to God out of your mouth, out of your mouth, out of your mouth. Your God is greater than your storm. Your God is greater. Your God got to be greater than your storm. Why would you worship a God that's not greater than your storm? Now, Father, you see the hands of your people. You see the scars on their heart. You see the trouble that they faced, and still you sustain them. Still you sustain them. It was terrible, and you sustain them. It was unfair, and you sustain them. It was heartbreaking, and you sustain them. That we might have an expected end. We're not worried about the process. We're worried about the outcome. You said in your word that we might have an expected end. The middle might be tough, but the end is going to take us where we need to be. And so we praise you for the end of a thing. Come on, shout. We praise you for the end of a thing. While we're still in it, we praise you for the end of a thing. While it's still raining, we praise you for the end of a thing. While it's still going on, we praise you for the end of a thing. We believe you that we will never be the same again. Now I'm going to let you go in just one moment, because I believe the Lord has done the work. But if this was your word tonight, I want you to sow a seed. I don't care whether it's $1,000 or $10. I just want you to sow a seed as a sign that says, God, I heard you. And I'm going to change the way I talk to myself. And I'm going to change the way I talk about myself. And I'm going to change what I'm doing to myself. I sow a seed. You're watching online tonight. This word reached in and snatched you and challenged you and reminded you, you have an outcome. When the process is over, you have an expected end. I want you to sow into the end and stop complaining about the middle. And I'm not going to give you long, and I'm not going to lay out in the trash and fall out under the power and tell you what your grandmama's name was. Because if you don't know your grandmama's name, I can't help you. I'm going to ask you to receive this word with gladness and to do it right now. From the pulpit to the door, to the PMTs. You always collecting it, but you don't always sow it. To the security people, to the person who's watching online, and God spoke directly to you, directly, prophetically to you. Sow this seed. To let hell know I'm still here. I'm still here. All I got is this $20. I'm sowing it. I'm believing you. I'm thanking you. I'm still here. I weighed this $2,000 before you. I weighed this $5.55 before you. I'm still here. I'm still here. Shandoko shetekaba. Hey! I'm still here. Wave it at me if you're still here. Sow it if you're still here. Plant it if you're still here. You can't pay for it, but you can acknowledge it. You can acknowledge. The Bible said, acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. I love that scripture. Because sometimes direction is better than money. Sometimes direction is better than company. Sometimes direction, just a direction. Do I go? Do I not go? Do I give up? Do I fight for it? Sometimes a word of direction from God is absolutely priceless. I'll have you out of here in 5 minutes. If you don't have a church home, and you need a church home where you can grow and be fed and be ministered to out of the Word of God, if you come to my left, the doors of this church are open. We don't normally open the church on a Wednesday night, but there's somebody in this place. You need to make this your church home tonight. If you got to go into a trance and you got to call your grandmama and ask her if it's okay because she baked the first sweet potato pie in the church you came out of, yeah, it's not for you. If you need a home, if you've been spiritually homeless, and some of your behavior is coming from your unsettledness, you eat a little here and you eat a little there and you eat a little over there. You eat a little bit here, here a little bit, there a little bit, here a little bit, there a little bit, but you've never been steadied on a rock. Then come right now. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. You coming? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. How many people glad you came to church tonight? Post about it. Tweet about it. Tell about it. You know why I say do that? The Bible said you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You need to tell them, I heard a word tonight that got down in me and settled me and ministered to me and stabilized me, and I will not die. I will survive. I will live. I am still here. I am still here if he left me. I am still here if I'm working two jobs. I am still here if I'm living with my mama. I am, you're not going to ignore me. I am still here. Father, I thank you tonight. Well, I love you. Now unto him that's able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the only wise God, our Father, be glory, dominion and power, world without end, throughout all ages, we pray in Jesus' name. Shout amen!